Get ready to be jolted out of the ordinary and into a world where conversations are charged with intensity and facts. The Lightning Strike Talk Radio with your host, Muhammad Fahim, broadcasting live from the heart of the city on Chicago's Progressive Talk Radio, WCPT 820 AM. Welcome to a radio show that charges through the airwaves with an electricity like no other. Here's your host, Muhammad Fahim.
Good morning, Chicago, and welcome to the Lightning Strike. I'm Muhammad Fahim. With me in the studios today is Ken DeLuke.
Howdy, folks.
And John Arena is back in the studios with me. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
And thank you all for listening in. The number to call in if you want to be a part of the conversation is 773-763-9278 or WCPT. Lots of things happening in the world around us, folks, and we are definitely going to be diving in into the hottest thing that is happening right now that started yesterday. Maybe it started long before yesterday. And in order to talk to us and tell us exactly what is happening and how things are shaping up and why they are happening, we are going to be joined with Dr. Muqtada Khan. And Dr. Khan is a professor at Georgetown University, and we will be joining with him shortly. He'll be calling in from Delaware. He's a professor of comparative politics, international relations, and political theory, and also he was a fellow, a non-resident senior fellow of the Brookings Institution from 2003 to 2008. And Dr. Khan also served in 2017 to 2019 as the academic director of the State Department's National Security Institute. And from 2019 to 2021, he's serving as the academic director of the State Department's American Foreign Policy Institute. We are lucky to have Dr. Khan join us. Dr. Khan, good morning. You are on WCPT on the Lightning Strike. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, short notice, but I could not resist getting your input as to what is happening. Again, in the studio with me today are my co-host, Ken DeLuke, and John Arena.
Good morning.
Howdy.
Good morning to both of you, too.
And John Arena is a retired alderman from the 45th Ward in Chicago, and Ken DeLuke is a political consultant. We would love to get your take on what's happening. Are we headed towards a third world war? You know, this is getting crazier by the minute.
Well, the good news is I don't think we are going to be heading towards a third world war, but the bad news is that we are a much more broader conflict than President Biden had hoped for. If you recall, from day one, when Joe Biden moved troops into the area after Hamas's terrible and horrendous terrorist attacks on Israel on October 7th, one of his goals has always been, besides defending and protecting Israel, is to prevent the war from escalating. Expanding in the region, and I mean, this is actually, I see this as failure of Biden's policy that the war has expanded. Lots of people are just thinking of this as Iran attacking Israel, but what really happened in a few hours ago was that eight countries were involved in conflict. So Iran fired rockets and missiles and drones, over 300 of them, from the Iranian soil, from Syria, from Lebanon, via Hezbollah, from Yemen, and from Iraq. That's five different countries. And then the U.S., Israel, and the British Air Force were involved in the defense of Israel. So already you see eight countries in action in the region. What happened was, I think that Netanyahu has successfully played Biden this time. If you recall that Israel was getting a lot of criticism from even its best friends. Canada had stopped supplying weapons. Even Cameron was criticizing Israel's policies. Biden was talking tough, especially after a lot of people voted uncommitted in critical states like Michigan and Minnesota. So Israel was getting a lot of criticism for its policies and the way it was conducting the war, especially its threat to enter Rafah. But now, by attacking Iran and forcing Iran to attack Israel, once again, Netanyahu has successfully forced Western countries to rally behind him and Israel by making Iran the bad person now. And that is a major victory for Netanyahu. And now nobody can demand that he quit from the government, that a new government is formed in Israel while Iran continues to attack. So right now, the place where we are, the Iranians say they have responded to Israel's April 1st attack on its embassy, mm-hmm. where 30 people were killed, including 7 senior military officers of Iran. And they have signaled that via their UN mission that they have concluded their counterattack. Now it's up to Israel whether to escalate this or say, okay, we attacked you and killed 13 people, you attacked us, you killed nobody, we are done. And I think that is what Joe Biden wants, and he is then going to use the G7 and other diplomatic tools, and I think you will see an escalation of sanctions from the U.S. On Iran. But it's up to Netanyahu. I think Iran has given Netanyahu an exceptionally good opportunity to either really escalate by attacking Iran's nuclear facilities, mm-hmm. with an air attack, which will mean that Israeli Air Force will have to fly over one or two Arab countries who Iran has already threatened will retaliate. Or Israel can simply unleash on Hezbollah. And I have a feeling that the withdrawal of Israeli forces from most of Gaza, they have withdrawn four. They only have one battalion.
They have one battalion left over there now.
Yeah.
Dr. Khan, in your opinion, why do you think Iran did this? What is their motivation, and what do they want to get out of it? Because it seems like this is counterintuitive. They don't want Netanyahu in power, and they are against that regime. This seems like playing completely against their own best interests.
Well,
am I wrong?
Ken, here's the thing, though. I mean, it was not Iran who started this thing. Remember this. Netanyahu first attacked Iran because he wants to bring the U.S. and British and, you know, and Britain and everybody into the conflict to save his own behind, right?
Well, if you recall, on one of the earliest people, I mean, now you can do Google searches by time. So if you do a Google search 1 week after around October 7th, you will notice that the U.S. intelligence said that even Iran didn't know what Hamas was going to do on October 7th. So it sort of said that Iran supports Hamas broadly, but was not involved directly in the October 7 attacks. Mm-hmm. But now, by attacking Iran's embassy in Syria and killing another major general, Israel has attacked Iran directly and put Iran in a difficult position. Iran doesn't want a war. Israel or Netanyahu for the last 20-25 years has been trying to get the U.S. to do the dirty work of diminishing Iran's military capabilities, attack Iran. So Netanyahu, by forcing Iran to react, Iran has to attack Israel, otherwise it will lose its faith in the region, it looks mm-hmm. weak, and the other Arab countries will start, behaving in a fashion that Iran doesn't want. So Iran has no choice but to respond. So that's why, if you notice, Iran's attack looked massive. It is for its own publication. It is like saying that you came and destroyed my car, and now I have no choice but to respond. So I go to your house, I go past your real Tesla, brand new Tesla, and then I simply, slash the tires of an old car that you never used.
Yeah, and I TP your house.
Exactly. So that is okay. What Iran has done. It's trying to look tough, but the drones that Iran fired, they are slower than I sometimes drive faster than those. they fly at 140 kilometers per hour. They took 9 hours to get to Israel. So you could see them coming, right? If you had proper satellite. So Iran could have unleashed a barrage of missiles from Syria, which would come in far quickly, and it would be far more difficult for the Iron Dome and the U.S. and the jet fighter planes to fly around shooting them down. So Iran basically probably ended up $20,000 to $50,000 worth of drones just to look tough. And now the ball is in Netanyahu's court. I have a feeling he's going to extract a lot of things out of Biden for not attacking Iran directly. Because, see, gas prices already reached $90 after the Israeli attack on April 1st. I didn't check this morning, but I'm betting that the price of oil is going to go further up. And if you notice, even 2 days ago, already here we were hearing discussions of how, once again, inflation in the United States is going up. So if gas prices go up, even though we are self-sufficient, it will still affect the U.S. market. It will give an opportunity for oil companies to raise gas prices here at home. And I think Biden's goose is cooked. You know, in this attack, I think the only winner is Netanyahu. Even Israel is not a winner. Iran is not a winner. The U.S., especially Joe Biden, could really pay a big price because of this war in November. With Israel, think of yourself as an Israeli general or someone who cares about Israeli long-term security. And this last 6 months should be a source of, panic attacks. And you should be getting hives every day because things have happened that have never happened to Israel. This is the first time that Iran has directly attacked from the Iranian soil to the Israeli soil. It's a direct attack from Iran on Israel. What Hamas did on October 7th was the biggest massacre of Jews since the Holocaust. Mm-hmm. So this is a failure of Israeli security. This is a failure of intelligence. But more than anything, this is a failure of deterrence. This is a failure of deterrence. People now think they can attack Israel and get away with it in the sense that they're not afraid to attack Israel. And that is the scariest part if I was in charge of Israeli security. It's like this, you know. Let's say that I'm 10 feet tall and 500 pounds and I know karate and I threaten you and say, look, if you attack me, I'm going to break all your bones. But you still want to attack me and you think you can take an eye or two, you know. Yep. So that is a dangerous position to me. Even if I'm very powerful, because I don't want to lose an eye. I may kill you, I may finish you off, but why would I want to lose an eye to you? That is the situation where Israel is at the moment.
Okay, thank you so much. We'll take a quick break and we'll be back to discuss this further. Folks, on the line with us is Professor Dr. Muqtada Khan. He is a professor of comparative politics, international relations and political theory from the University of Delaware. And also he is serving as the academic director of the State Department's American Foreign Policy Institute. We'll be right back. You are listening in to The Lightning Strike. I'm your host, Muhammad Fahim. With me in the studios, Kendall Luke and John Arena. We continue the conversation after a quick break.
Hey folks, did you know there's a program in Illinois that if you qualify for it, would allow you to get solar installed in your home at no out-of-pocket cost? The benefit to you would be a reduction of your electric bill, possibly as high as 30 to 50%, and more importantly, you would take out the uncertainty of almost guaranteed future price increases imposed from your electric company. If you'd like to see if you can qualify for this program, call Ken DeLuke at 312-617-8979. That's 312-617-8979. Help us save the environment and change that electric bill burden.
Are you a business looking for the right talent or a job seeker searching for your dream career? Look no further than the Center for Strategic Solutions, your workforce solution experts. Our experienced team at the Center for Strategic Solutions is dedicated to connecting employers with top-tier talent and helping job seekers find opportunities that truly align with their goals. We're more than just consultants. We're your partners in success. Ready to take your workforce to the next level or land that ideal job? Contact the Center for Strategic Solutions today at 1-847-306-9274 or visit us online at www.cfssus.com. The Center for Strategic Solutions, your bridge to a brighter future in the Windy City. The number to call is 847-306-9274 or send an email to info@cfssus.com. That is info@cfssus.com.
Welcome back to the Lightning Strike with Mohammed Fahim.
Good morning, folks. Welcome back to the Lightning Strike. You are tuned in on WCPD, Chicago's Progressive Talk Radio Station. And we actually wanted to talk about a lot of other stuff today, including our friend Donald Trump actually going in for a trial tomorrow. But things happened overnight, and
ironic,
this
it's about paying taxes on on tax day.
paying taxes on tax day. That's Donald Trump is going to be facing a judge tomorrow. Good, that's good news for the country. And Dr. Khan is joining us. He is a professor of comparative politics, international relations, and political theory from the University of Delaware, and also he is the academic director of the State Department's National Security Institute from 2019 to 2021, and he's now serving as the academic director of the State Department's American Foreign Policy Institute. Dr. Khan, welcome back, and again, if you have any questions, any concerns, if you want to make a comment, feel free to call in. The number to call in is 773-763-9278. We've got Ron from Michigan calling in. Ron, if you don't mind, please hold on, and we'll pitch you or patch you in into the conversation. John Arena has a question for you, Dr. Khan.
Dr. Khan, I was wondering if you could give us some context, because this, according to Iran, this is motivated by the Israeli attack on their consulate in Damascus, where two generals were killed and I think 12 people. How do you see that in the context of the motivations here? What was Israeli's motivation to go after a consulate? And is this a proportional response to that provocation?
Well, first of all, you know that targeting embassies, et cetera, is a violation of international law and norms. And even if an embassy is being used as a fortress, if you travel across the world, you will see the United States embassies in many parts of the world are huge. And we have all kinds of things going on in there, obviously with the permission of the country. So just to say that it's a military base or whatever, it's up to Syria to have whatever relations it wants with Iran. But this is clearly an escalation. Perhaps Israel felt... there are two reasons. One is a cynical one, where I suggest that Netanyahu wanted to deliberately bring Iran into the fray, forcing the United States to retaliate. But Iran, I think, tried to get both ways. It wanted to attack Israel, but not to do it in such a way that it would shock. Like, they didn't target any civilian areas. They didn't try to kill people or really do some damage. But Iran has attacked Israel, and that's unprecedented. It has kind of broken a taboo that these two countries are not directly engaged in war. And if Israel responds, that would have happened. Now it's up to, literally, the ball is in Israel's court. Israel will want to respond because it does not want its deterrence capabilities to be fully eroded. Now, it has multiple choices. It can attack Iran directly, or it can attack Iranian assets. Iranian attack was ongoing, Israeli Air Force was already hitting some infrastructure targets. in Lebanon that belonged to Hezbollah. So Israel has, in a way, already attacked some Iranian targets. But the war cabinet is meeting as we speak, and they will take a decision on what to do. There are also lots of internal debates going on in Israel. I mean, there are people who want Netanyahu to go away. Mm-hmm. They want a new election, etc. But the longer the war goes on, the longer Netanyahu remains in power, because they can't really have action while they're fighting on many fronts. And as I was saying before the break, that Israel's withdrawal of troops out of Gaza, while many are saying it is probably for rest and recoupment or reorientation, there are others who feel that perhaps he wants those troops to move north and go after Hezbollah, because he may feel that he has done enough damage to Hamas. The real question is that how strong is Hamas still? Is Hamas still capable of controlling Gaza and governing? If it is, then it will attack, because during this attack, Hamas did fire some rockets at Israel, apparently. Okay. There are some reports of that. So, but is Israel fully now prepared to direct its attention towards Hezbollah, and will it want to start a war, which it did in the past? There are lots and lots of reports saying Hezbollah has stockpiles of over 150,000 rockets, and Israel will have to face that barrage if it starts a war with Hezbollah. So there are complicated implications, and these calculations are not easy to make. These are unintended consequences of actions, and there are also miscalculations. So the situation is quite serious in the region, no doubt about it.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Ron from Michigan wants to chime in on the conversation. And Ron, we got the absolute expert right now, Dr. Khan, who's calling in from Delaware for us. You got a question for Dr. Khan, Ron, or you want to make a comment?
Several, Mohammed. First of all, Professor, as far as the oil prices going up, that was in the New York Wall Street Journal about 2 weeks ago, where Saudi Arabia, Russia, and the other oil-producing countries, and U.S. Some oil companies in collusion with them, have already determined to reduce production to jack up oil prices for the upcoming elections. This is an old tactic used by the oil companies and the Republicans. And in my opinion, any of those companies in the United States who are doing that, they should be nationalized immediately by Joe Biden. Now, as far as Bibi getting whatever he wanted with the attack by Iran, I agree with you, and they'll probably hold off on any attacks, because this will give Israel a chance to build up their stockpile of weapons, because now all weapons will be given to Israel to continue their Rafah attack and build up defenses. And they have the U.S. and British Air Forces in their corner now fighting with them. But the point I want to bring up as far as the attack on the Hezbollah generals right in the heart of Iran, that was a precision attack. But targeting of generals and individuals, and also Israel's targeting, allegedly, of three sons of one of the Hamas leaders, this is nothing new, okay? The Palestinians, they killed Meir Kahani, his whole family. They killed his sons. You know, revenge, mafia-style hits are, this goes back to the Jesus' time, and whoever holds the most powerful weapons will control the area, plain and simple. And it's a mess. It's a total mess, and...
Hey, Ron. Thank you for pointing out the fact that the oil companies are jacking up prices regardless because of the upcoming elections. And you're right. So, Dr. Khan, as far as our oil companies and oil production is concerned, do you think that there is a correlation to the upcoming elections? And Donald Trump, in his usual, blustery way, is saying that if we were the president, not if he was, he is now using the word we, this would not have happened. What do you have to say on that?
Well, I mean, he makes a lot of such claims, right? He says that if he was president, Russia would not have attacked Ukraine. He also claimed that Hamas would not have claimed. So the point that he's trying to make is that that Biden is a weak president, and people feel that they can do whatever they like if, as long as Biden is in charge, because he will not respond. It is not very clear what Trump would have done and why people would not have backed out. Please, the Russia claim is based on the fact that as soon as Biden became president, there was a lot more talk about Ukraine being included in NATO. And if you remember, Kamala Harris, the vice president, went to Munich and made a speech there just a few weeks before Russia attack, where she said if Ukraine wanted to join UN, it was okay, or something to that effect. And so Trump would not have, like Russia would not have felt that NATO would expand. And so that is the logic of Trump's claim that Russia would not have attacked Ukraine. But I think that one of the reasons why Hamas attacked Israel on October 7th was because of the Abrahamic Accords. It felt that if Arab countries like the United Arab Emirates and Morocco and other countries were part of the Arab Abrahamic Accords, and there was lots of talk, if you remember, MBS, his first English interview to Fox, in which he said there's daily progress being made towards diplomatic relations between Saudi Arabia and Israel. So if the Arabs are making peace with Israel without any progress on the Palestinian issue, then the Palestinian cause was completely sidelined by the Abrahamic Accords, and that's the fear for Israel, for Hamas to bring the Palestinian question to the center of global politics. Right now, look, it is the number one question that the world is talking about because of what Hamas did. And Hamas was attack was therefore directly connected to the expansion of the Abrahamic Accords. I mean, both those attacks, Ukraine attack by Russia was, from a Russian perspective, the fear of the expansion of the NATO accord, and Hamas's attack partly was motivated by the expansion of the Abrahamic Accords. Now, nobody's talking about the Abrahamic Accords. So I'm not very sure that the president, former President Trump's claims that the world would just listen to him. But the point is that his audience finds that credible, and the GOP is putting a lot of pressure on. The GOP is going to force Biden to talk tough and do things tough, and then GOP is going to try to prevent Biden from actually doing anything in the Congress. So they have basically want Biden's foreign policy to fail so that he looks really bad in November.
Okay. Again, folks, this is Dr. Mukhtadar Khan. Dr. Khan, thank you so much for joining us and for your insights. We definitely want to talk more with you in the upcoming weeks. Folks, when we started this whole program about the lightning strike, our intent was to talk about local politics. Our intent was to hold people accountable for what they were promising and talk about, you know, local and state and federal politics. And we started September 6th, right, Ken? That was our first show. And then the world exploded on October 7th. So a lot of the emphasis that that we have about what's happening now internationally is things that just kind of fell into place when we started the show. Dr. Khan, thank you so much for joining us, and we will definitely be getting back to you as things progress in the upcoming weeks. Again, thank you so much for your time. That was Dr. Mukhtadar Khan, who is the Professor of Comparative Politics, International Relations and Political Theory, joining us from Delaware. And you are tuned in to The Lightning Strike with your host, Mohammed Fahim, Ken DeLuke, and John Arena. We'll take a quick break and be back on the other side of the break. Our person of the week is Dave Ebert, or Ebert. I mean, I pronounce this as Ebert. That's the pronunciation that I was given. A good friend of mine, Malcolm, that's how he pronounced his last name, but Dave wants to call himself Ebert, and he is going to be joining us. He is a, how do you call it?
Improv.
Yeah, he's an improv.
An improv therapist.
Yeah, he's an improv artist. And we're going to be listening to Dave talk about how to use improv to actually overcome some of the trauma that we are facing in today's world. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Hey folks, did you know there's a program in Illinois that if you qualify for it, would allow you to get solar installed in your home at no out-of-pocket cost? The benefit to you would be a reduction of your electric bill, possibly as high as 30 to 50%, and more importantly, you would take out the uncertainty of almost guaranteed future price increases imposed from your electric company. If you'd like to see if you can qualify for this program, call Ken DeLuke at 312-617-8979. That's 312-617-8979. Help us save the environment and change that electric bill burden.
Are you a business looking for the right talent or a job seeker searching for your dream career? Look no further than the Center for Strategic Solutions, your workforce solution experts. Our experienced team at the Center for Strategic Solutions is dedicated to connecting employers with top-tier talent and helping job seekers find opportunities that truly align with their goals. We're more than just consultants. We're your partners in success. Ready to take your workforce to the next level or land that ideal job? Contact the Center for Strategic Solutions today at 1-847-306-9274 or visit us online at www.cfssus.com. The Center for Strategic Solutions, your bridge to a brighter future in the Windy City. The number to call is 847-306-9274 or send an email to info@cfssus.com. That is info@cfssus.com.
Welcome back to the Lightning Strike with Mohammed Fahim.
Good morning, folks. Welcome back to the Lightning Strike. And the number to call in is 773-763-9278. We are here every Sunday morning from 9 to 10. And I'm tripping over my own tongue now, guys. Okay. On WCPT, Chicago's Progressive Talk Radio Station. Last week, we had a guest, Lynn Shaw, who called in from New York, and she kind of went off the rails a little bit. My apologies for that. And we were talking about human trafficking and all that, and Lynn got pretty passionate and started throwing out all kinds of accusations, which were kind of off the reservation. So, not going to happen again.
Understatement.
But, talking about statistics, though, about human trafficking, I want you guys to check out something called the Polaris Project, and the website is polarisproject.org, and they got some pretty impressive research that they're doing. And in 2021, 10,359 situations of human trafficking were reported to the U.S. National Human Trafficking Hotline, involving 16,554 individual victims. Now, shocking as these numbers are, they are likely only a fraction of the actual problem. A lot of these numbers don't get reported. So, yes, there is human trafficking going on in big ways. Now, I don't know if any of the agencies that Lynn was talking about are actually involved in this or not. So with that disclaimer, do check out. There are things happening in our neck of the woods that we need to be really concerned about. Talking of that, also the latest police shooting that happened in Chicago, what is that? The COPPA is going to be investigating that, I believe.
Yeah, they are investigating it, and I mean, if it's really horrific video, I have watched some of it, and I think, you know, this spurs the conversation about what is a proportional response and what was the motivations. You know, are we back to stop and frisk, which has been a policy that was determined to be racially motivated? We see the number of pullovers in the 11th district is much higher for, like, you know, these kinds of stops. Now, it is a district with a lot of gun violence and gang activity.
Uh-huh.
But one officer fired over 50 bullets. Now, there's a 15 mag bullet magazine,
yeah,
which means he had to reload three times, assuming he had a full clip, you know, in when he started shooting. So I think this is really an opportunity to talk about what is response, especially when Chicago is supposed to be working on a consent decree, which they're way behind on. And then we have these kind of roving tactical units, you know, doing this. I think we need to reset and try to understand what is the response that's reasonable. When
John,
how do we
do it? I mean, the police claim that this guy fired a shot at them first. First off, they claim that he was stopped for not wearing a seatbelt. Give me a break, okay?
He had tinted
glasses. Yeah. The investigation is going on. How do you even know someone is not wearing a seatbelt? And then there was a gun found. He shot. Give me a break again over here. 96 shots in 46 seconds?
Yeah. And that's the thing. You know, there's response, and then there's an over-response.
Yeah.
And what are the motivations? Why was he pulled over? The investigation will reveal a lot more about what led up to this.
Well, I hope so.
But, and now we have a citizens board as well. So there's a lot more direct oversight. I think the transparency, the fact that this was released 3 weeks after the, you know, as opposed to months, like in Laquan McDonald, 6 months.
Yeah.
So, I mean, these are improvements for us to look at how policing is done and then make changes and change policy so that we don't see this kind of overreaction.
So the Citizens Office of Police Accountability, or COPPA, what is their history like? I mean, have they come up with I need to do more research on this. So, folks, we will be looking into it more closely for our next show next Sunday. But again, it is very concerning for, I mean, I can understand the adrenaline kicking in and everything. 96 shots? Come on, man. This is not a war that is happening. Okay, we got our music director, Bill Shepherd, on the line. And before we go to Dave, let's bring Bill in and say, hey, Bill, thank you so much for cleaning up the jingle. Man, that sounds awesome.
Thank you, Muhammad. We went back into the studio, cleaned up some of the white noise, and raised up the vocals a little bit. So it was fun. It's always fun to be in the studio.
Well, no. Thank you. Thank you so much. And Bill, there was somebody claiming that you are a far-right activist, my friend. How far to the right are you? Okay.
well, the bird's got two wings, so I think we're all, you know, but I do kind of hang on the right wing, but I love listening to your show. It's heavy, I'll tell you, the stuff going on.
You know, Bill, when we started the show in September, we actually wanted to talk about local issues, and we wanted to talk about solutions and holding our elected representatives accountable for their actions, but then October 7th happened. And since then, it has been a wild ride for us. And then, Trump comes in, and he is a gift that keeps on giving us every week. you know, we cannot avoid talking about President Trump.
Former President Trump, right there.
Thank you, John, for correcting me.
I listen to both sides, and candidly, if you take out the names, the arguments are kind of the same sometimes.
I like to see this as an American bill. Okay, what is in the best interest of the country? That is something that we have to focus on. And folks, Ken wants to say a couple of things, but before I go to Ken, let me tell you this. If you have not been out of America, you don't know how good you have in this country. This is the best country in the world, guys. Okay, that's why everyone wants to come here, okay, legally, illegally, by whatever means, you know, flying over on drones. The whole world wants to come here, and there's a reason for that. And we who are living in this country should be thankful every single minute that we get up and we take a breath and we say, thank God we are in America. So, folks, please don't diss the country that you're living in. Yeah, we do have some issues, but every country, every family has issues. Ken, you wanted to say something.
Well, yeah, speaking of being the best country, Bill, who is the band of the week that you want to recommend and for people to go out and see?
Well, I'm going to recommend two. I'm going to recommend, this won't be for this week, but June 9th, because I'm a classic rock guy, the Rialto Square Theater's got Night Ranger. If you're classic rock, I mean, how could you miss them? So June 9th, you got time to make the arrangements. The theater is awesome. So I appreciate you asking me there, and I'm gonna plug Billy and the Rockaholics this week. I'm not gonna do myself every week because that would get ugly. But VFW post in New Lenox, a great post. It's 9545. It's 323 Old Hickory Road in New Lenox. My band's gonna be playing. I love the place. That's why I'm trying to promote.
And I'm going to give you a special endorsement here because I've heard your band play many times and it is freaking amazing. Okay. So anyone who's in the New Lenox area, go check that out. You'll love them.
Okay, Bill, thank you so much. And that's Bill Shepard, our music director over here for the Lightning Strike, exclusive to us with the weekly updates on what's happening on the music scene in Chicago. And speaking of that, folks, Bronzeville, the show, I went Friday with my family. Awesome. Cool. It blew my socks away. Okay, my family, some of them had come in from San Diego, and they were saying that they had even seen Cats, the longest running show on Broadway. They said this beat Cats, hands down.
Really?
The music was awesome, the acting, the whole storyline, and Margaret Muddy, who put this thing together, writer, producer, director, hats off, a big salute to Margaret. Awesome job. They still have a show today. So if you have not seen that at the Studio Baker Theater, folks, make a beeline. You're not going to regret the time that you're going to be spending. And with that, let's go to Sheila White, who brought Margaret to us. And now she's bringing in Dave Ebert to us. Sheila, good morning.
Good morning. You know, with all of the things going on in the world, we need more comedy. People like Dave Ebert is a person that does improv. And everybody heard of the show Whose Line Is It Anyway, where they do a lot of fun comedy with props and different lines. Well, Dave Ebert is an improv therapist. He's a person that brings improvisation to people that are in trauma. So I'd like to welcome Dave Ebert to the show on this morning. Welcome, Dave.
Hey, thank you, Sheila. Thank you, Muhammad. Thanks for having me on. Really blessed to be here and share a little bit about what we do.
Hey, Dave. Thank you so much for joining us. You know, I get my kicks and my laughs out of watching Donald Trump every week say something stupid. So is that something wrong with me? I mean, come on, man. I mean, the guy is a giving tree, okay?
God has given us humor as a way to deal with the stress of life. So wherever you can find those moments where you can just get a break from the stress, from the burdens, I think that's perfectly fine. It's, you know, as long as it's not out to hurt somebody, because let's face it, we as human beings, we are made funny. We are goofy things. If the animals knew how to laugh, they would laugh at us. They probably do in the woods when we're not paying attention.
Oh, my cat does that all the time. My cat always looks at me and gives me that goofy smile. It's like, I know what you're up to.
Okay. And, you know, it's so interesting because there's so many different types of trauma that's going on in the world. And a person like Dave is able to help relieve some of the stress and some of the trauma experiences that people go through. You, Connie, can you talk a little more about that, Dave?
Hey, Dave, talking of trauma, man, I've been married for 40 years now. So how do you handle the trauma of being a married man?
Okay. Lots of prayer and fasting.
Okay. Well, it took me 35 years to learn to say, you know, yes, ma'am, you're right. So the last 5 years of my 40 years of married life have been bliss. Okay.
But, yeah, awesome. Laughter is like great medicine. And if you make your wife laugh, you'll disarm a lot of the tension. And sometimes it can also create some of the tension. Laughter is a great gift. And what we do is we actually, and it's kind of in a way related to last week's show, is we primarily serve survivors of sex and human trafficking here in the Chicagoland area.
Okay.
These are primarily women that have been bought and sold, treated like property. And in order to just survive that lifestyle, they've had to build up walls and become kind of a shell of their former self. But through the improv workshops, we're able to see some of those walls come down, and they come out from behind that wall, and they start taking risks again. They start finding that they have a voice and they have something to offer the world, and they're not just a piece of property, but they're actually a human being created in God's image, and they're able to laugh again. They're able to create. We develop communication skills. And, you know, kind of the unwritten thing about what we do is that I, as a man, am able to go and kind of create a paradigm shift that not all men are evil, not all men are out to hurt or use them, but there's actually, and not to toot my own horn, decent men that actually care about other people.
Dave, the improv workshop, describe that process. Where do you put these workshops on? How are you getting out to the people? What kind of audience size do you have? Make me understand how that all works.
Oh, sure. So we work with a couple different organizations. There's Salt and Light Coalition in Chicago. Naomi's House has a couple locations. So we go on location to their facility where the women are either living or they're dropping in for the various skills and therapies that are being offered. And we come in to come alongside the existing program. And we just lead basically like an improv 101 workshop. So if you've ever gone to one of the Second City trainings, or if you've gone to IO, or any of the plethora of improv training available in Chicago, you kind of know what the 101 classes look like. There's a little icebreaker where it's very low pressure. And I always open up with the idea that there are no mistakes, there's just new opportunities. And I want to make sure that it's a judgment-free zone, that there's freedom to express, there's freedom to create, and more importantly, there's freedom to fail. And failure is not something to be embarrassed or ashamed of, but just to be explored and see, you know, what fun can we have out of the goofy things that make us human.
Now, do you actually involve your audience as part of the improv process, or is it just more of a performance for you and your cohorts?
Oh, no, it's actually, they're involved. We get them in a circle, and we do a lot of circle exercises that cause creativity, cause them to take risks again. Like, one of the funnest games that we do is called Bippity Bippity Bop. And it's a game that teaches, don't plan your response. Actually listen to what the other person's doing and then respond. Mm-hmm. And so it's a lot of fun. And the first class we ever taught back in 2018, one of the ladies had come in, and she was just carrying the burdens of the world. You could see it written on her face. You could see it in her posture. She was ready to explode. She wanted a reason to fight somebody just so that she could get some of this anger and frustration that she's wrestling with out. Because just because you leave the lifestyle of trafficking doesn't mean your battle's over. in many ways, it's just beginning, because many of these ladies end up with a record because, you know, frankly, the courts don't pay attention to why you're on the corner. They don't care, you know, who is controlling you or who is forcing you into this. They just know that you're doing something, and so now you've got a record, and that makes it hard to find jobs, hard to find housing. So this particular lady, and I can't use her real name, so I'll call her Vanessa. Vanessa came in just carrying all these burdens, and she was ready to fight. She wanted to vent and get it out. But because of the program, you know, she would lose everything that she's working for if she did. So she participates in a comedy, and within 5 minutes of doing bippity-bippity-bop, she's a completely different person. Her shoulders are relaxed. Her face is lit up. She's laughing like a little girl. And come to find out that Vanessa was initially trafficked by her parents because they didn't have the money to pay for the next drug fix. The only currency they had was their 9-year-old daughter.
Oh, boy.
And that was the only one she knew. And so she's carrying all of this. And in just a few moments of doing a silly little kid's game, she's transfigured into a child again, laughing and free. And that was the moment I realized this is something that can work and that can help a lot of people.
So, Dave, typically, how long does a workshop last?
That's the beauty of improv. It depends on the needs of the organization that we're working for.
Okay.
It can go anywhere from 30 minutes to 2 hours, just depending on how frequently we are visiting and also just the needs of their curriculum.
Now, is there an organization that you have? How do people get in touch with your group?
We're called the Improv Missionaries. And we're missionaries because we don't rely on payment or compensation from who we serve. We just ask the community, our church, to help support us so that we can travel and not be a burden.
Do you have a website? Do you have a website?
Yes, sir. It's at improvmissionaries.com.
Okay, folks, so that is Dave Ebert with the improvmissionaries.com. Dave, I would love to get in touch with you later on, you know, with some of the work that I do with workforce and employment solutions and all of that, especially for people who are coming back into the workforce after incarceration. There's a lot of trauma that those people are facing. And so what I would like to do, I would like to explore to see if we can get some funding from the state and the federal sources, especially in the VIOA program, which is the Workforce Innovation and Optimization Act that I was, you know, part of when I was working with the Illinois WorkNet Center in Arlington Heights. There is monies available to really help people out, especially when they're out of a job, John. I mean, you know, the kind of stress that people face when they have lost their job. I have seen grown men come and sit in my office and literally cry. Okay. Mm-hmm. So there may be some options that we can explore. Would you be interested in working on something like that with me?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. That sounds great. I'd love to help as many people as possible.
Okay. Yeah, and if we can get some funding from some of these state sources and federal sources, that would be a good use of the money that we have that we pay our taxes on. Speaking of taxes, folks, tomorrow is tax day.
No, tomorrow is the first day of the trial for Donald Trump.
I mean, that's a taxing day for Donald Trump. So, Dave, if Donald Trump were to approach you for some counseling, what would you tell Donald Trump?
I'm putting you on the spot now, Dave,
and I'm looking at you at your website, and I can see you having fun on the website. So Donald Trump comes in to Dave's workshop. How do you do the bippity-bippity-bop with Donald Trump?
Well, I honestly would have to break it down to the, you know, the kid level, I think. Yeah, he would be a challenging student, I honestly believe.
Okay. I think most of what Donald Trump is pretty much improv. Bing, bing, bong, bing, bong.
Yeah.
Okay, folks. On that note, we'd like to sign off for the day. I'm your host, Mohammed Fahim. You're tuned into The Lightning Strike. With me in the studios, Ken DeLuke and John Arena. Our person of the week is Dave Ebert, and Sheila White is a producer. For the person of the week, if you'd like to join us as a guest or a person of the week, please go to our website, tlschicago.com. Check out this show and the previous shows, and you can always join us on the phone, 773-763-9278, every Sunday morning between 9 and 10 on The Lightning Strike. Signing off for today.
Ciao.